Today I have the real pleasure of speaking with Dr. William McCann, Bill McCann, who's actually a local Central PA guy. He went to Penn State after growing up in Hershey, and then to Jefferson Medical College, and eventually came here to Lancaster to practice cardiology, almost at the beginning of the real growth of the specialty at Lancaster General Hospital. So Bill, welcome, and would you please just give us a brief review of your background and training?
After an internship at Harrisburg Polyclinic Hospital, I had a three-year commitment to the Air Force. I did basically family medicine in Syracuse, New York, following which I came to Lancaster to take a one-year family practice residency.
What year would this have been?
That would have been 1965. Following that, I was in family practice in Loyola, Pennsylvania for 2 years. I subsequently decided I wanted something a little more hospital-oriented, and with the assistance of Dr. Richard Mann, obtained a fellowship at the Mayo Clinic in internal medicine. I then took the subsequent 2 years in cardiology, and after 4 years in 1972, returned to Lancaster. At the invitation of Dr. Mann, who was a very, very, very busy practitioner, and it was at the time when the hospital was interested in expanding their cardiology program, developing a cardiac catheterization laboratory.
And Paul Waddell was already here then as the
Paul
CEO.
Waddell, it's my recollection, came in 1963.
So in the early 1970s, as you're joining Dick Mann, there's no catheterization laboratory.
Well, they actually had started a lab down in X-ray, and the cardiologist, Dr. John Espenshade and Dick Mann, did the right heart catheterization, and the radiologist, Dwayne Goldman, then did the left heart utilizing Judkin's approach. So it was combined radiology, cardiology.
Now, Judkin's approach, meaning a retrograde approach through the aortic valve from the femoral artery.
Femoral approach.
With a percutaneous stick.
Right.
And the reason I dwell on that is because Mel Judkin's was at the University of Oregon, and I had my cardiac surgery residency and stayed on the faculty there at the University of Oregon, and I knew Mel Judkin's. And the point I want to bring out is that Mel Judkin's was a radiologist, not a cardiologist, and yet he was responsible for what at that time was certainly one of the greatest advances, which was the percutaneous
Absolutely.
Needle stick
yep.
with a guide wire approach rather than cutting down on the brachial artery at the elbow in order to insert a catheter.
Well, my training had been using the brachial artery approach. All of the casts that were done by the cardiology team out at the clinic at that time used that, and so we were using that. Sort of interesting because when there were post-op patients that had to be catheterized to see the status of their bypass surgery, most of those were done by the radiology group using the Judkin's approach.
Okay, now, initial catheterization facility that was developed would have been in central Pennsylvania, not unique, I take it. I mean, we know that there are well-developed programs all around us. What was it like in York, Reading, Harrisburg at that time?
When I interned at Polyclinic in 61-62, they were actually doing pediatric surgery up there at that time. To my knowledge, we're not doing adults. Gracie came over to York from Cleveland Clinic and really set up a very good program at York. So they were doing casts and surgery before we were here. Reading had a good cardiology group.
All right, well, certainly we didn't have a great head start. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make.
That's correct. We really started from scratch.
And yet, I think it's fair to say that the heart program at Lancaster General Hospital has really become certainly the equal of anything in this area. I would subjectively call it the outstanding program in this area. And certainly we know doctors, and doctors bring their families here from surrounding communities. What is it that made Lancaster General forge ahead? Dick Mann obviously had a role. You obviously had a role. Was it vision? Was it the administration pushing the cardiology program? Or was it cardiology with the vision and pushing the administration to provide what was needed?
You know, I actually think it was a combination of all of these. I think that Dick Mann was always on the cutting edge of everything that had to do with medicine and cardiology. He had the vision that this is the way cardiology was going to be going. Paul Waddell, he and Dick had a very good relationship, also was on the cutting edge. If there was something that looked like it was going to be the future of whatever specialty, Paul was a very perceptive individual and a great guy to work with. So I think Dick and Paul Waddell, in conjunction with a very strong board, I think got the program off the ground. And as it developed, Dick Mann's idea was to bring in individuals that maybe had more training and expertise than he had. That helped tremendously developing the catheterization program. When it came time to look for a surgical team, now at that point in time, we were sending all of our surgery to either Hershey, Penn, or Lankinol. Once we had gotten 200 cases that we were sending out a year, the state said, you know, that they certainly agreed that this was an adequate number of cases to start our program. So there was a search undertaking that, again, was spearheaded by Dick Mann. A number of individuals were interviewed at that point in time, and to the success of the program and to the benefit of Lancaster County, they recruited Dr. Lawrence Bonchek.
Thank you. That's very kind. Now, anyone who's been here a very long time will remember when your practice was referred to as M2G2, which stood for Mann, McCann, Galt, and Gensler. And certainly Jim Galt and Rick Gensler were instrumental in advancing, especially the catheterization technical aspect of the development of the program. So when did they come?
Jim Galt had been chief of cardiology at Hershey and wanted to get back more into clinical cardiology and came in 1973. Rick Gensler had trained at Hershey under Jim Galt, and Jim felt he was one of the best young men that he had trained. So he truly was an outstanding addition to the practice. He came, as I recall, in 76.
Now, in the early years, we've heard, I know from speaking with many physicians on the staff, that St. Joseph Hospital, now regional, was in almost every way the equivalent of Lancaster General Hospital. And then Lancaster General began to pull ahead slowly but surely. And there's no question in my mind, from conversations I've had and other interviews that I've done, that the cardiology program was really a major factor, if not the major factor. Certainly there are other important aspects, neurosurgery and so on, but cardiology was a prime mover in that accelerated progress. And how is it that one hospital became so much more dominant than the other?
Prior to the time I came here in 65, St. Joseph, for some reason or other, elected to discontinue their internship. Lancaster General, the board, however, decided that if you're going to have a hospital that progresses and develops, elected to keep their internship and added a family practice program to their teaching programs here at the hospital. When the family practice program expanded to a three-year program, Lancaster General embraced that, and they elected to concentrate on the family practice aspect of training and not get into additional things such as internal medicine, pediatrics. Of interest, as I look back and talk to people about those days, talking with Dr. Marlon Wanger recently. Marlon was down at the Temple in med school, and General Hospital went down on a recruiting mission. The one man that they talked to was Dick Mann.
Let me be sure I understand this. The board sent Dick Mann?
They sent several men down.
Yes, but Dick among them.
Recruiting. And as a result of that interview that he had with these men, six men came from Temple. Marlon Wenger, Jack Scherzer, Ponce, Grosch, George Roth. A little unusual in today's world that they would actually go out on recruiting programs like that. Usually they'll have, my experience subsequently was that the hospital would invite anyone that was interested in bring them in and show them around and have a little dinner for them. But this was actually a recruiting mission. They were so impressed by Dick Mann and his commitment that they came here, the six of them, and four of them subsequently stayed and practiced in subspecialty areas. When I came here for my interview, they asked me to talk to some of the interns at that time to see what they thought about the program, and they were all pretty enthusiastic. But they said, if you're coming here, make sure you spend time on medicine with Dick Mann, the best teacher that they've ever had. So I think it was due to those circumstances, the direction the hospital wanted to go, plus a staff that was interested in going forward. Dick Mann always said to me, he said, you have somebody that wants to hoe their own little pea patch, you're never going to get ahead. You have to really be looking at things for the betterment of the community. One of his quotes, as I remember, was, excellent has always been the philosophy of this department. He was talking about cardiology, obviously, but as you look at it, really, I think that's been the philosophy of the hospital.
There's also a thread in your comments that I wanted to pick out because I think it's directly relevant to today. When I asked you about the reasons why Lancaster General had forged ahead of St. Joe's, and you said, well, I'm not sure why, but they made a decision to discontinue their internship. I think there's a valuable lesson in that. St. Joe's at that time was a Catholic hospital and subject to policy making that came from a national organization. And Lancaster General and its board were making decisions here on the scene at the local level. And I bring that out because in the very first issue of the journal, Tom Beeman made the point that healthcare needs to be based on local concerns and local actions have to guide what is going on. And I think that St. Joe's made a bad decision because they were not making a decision in the light of what was best for the local community. They were acting upon imperatives that came from outside the community. Lancaster General Hospital has always been Lancaster's hospital, and we have only one reason for making a decision: what's best for healthcare in the area we serve here.
I think that's a very valid point. When I came, both hospitals had staffs that were very similar. They had strong surgical programs, for example. They had the Atleys were over there, and Pontius and Farmer here. They were the titans at that time. They had good internal medicine over there. Fred Young was a young internist gastroenterologist. Here we had Dick Mann, John Grosch, Mike Rubin, Howard and John Espenshade, Dick Mann, and then John Grosch was doing hematology, oncology. Herb Cooper was doing internal medicine, diabetes.
I want to interject a little personal vignette about Mike Rubin that nobody else would know. I knew him only briefly because he died not too long after I came here, but here is a measure of the quality of the man. We had a very good series of cases when we started the heart surgery program here, and we had done 63 cases in a row without a death. The 64th patient was a referral from Mike Rubin of an elderly woman with horrible diffuse disease, the kind of patient that you would ordinarily never take on early in the startup of a program because you want to take cases that you know will do well. But we had done so many cases in succession that nobody wanted to leave the community, and so we took her on, and She died early postoperatively of what is now clear to me was coronary spasm. But we didn't have calcium channel blockers. It's something we could have easily taken care of nowadays. But in those days, we didn't have the pharmacological tools to do so. In any event, Mike Rubin came up to me shortly thereafter and said, "I want to apologize to you, Larry, for referring a patient to you who was your first death." Instead of a word of criticism or complaint, he issued an apology. Now that is character.
He was a true gentleman. He was an outstanding cardiologist. Truly was.
Well, we could go on all day here, Bill, but I think we've covered things very well. And I want to just express my personal appreciation for our professional association through the years. To me, you always represented the example of equanimity and conviction and commitment to excellence and maturity. Those are qualities that are not always in generous supply among physicians. So thank you again for coming, and thanks for being my colleague for so many years.
You're very kind. Thank you for coming to Lancaster, bringing your expertise, getting the program off the ground, and making it one of the best, if not in the state, throughout the country.